This is the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary number 30B. We're on the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, page 144, and we are discussing the path of the solar logo, or the path which our logos is upon, or upon which our logos is. This is the great sixth path, onto which those in the path of Earth service, upon the path of Earth service, fight their way. They fight their way onto this sixth path, and which can be entered by more devas than men, and which can be entered via the fifth path, and the fifth path leading, the ray path, leading to the some higher brackets, I suppose, in the deva kingdom. And thence on to path number six of the solar logoi. Well, we have been... looking at Sanatkumara as the personal disciple. A personal disciple. Oh, that's such an important word, isn't it? That word, a personal disciple, because otherwise we would think he's the only one. But we should not really discriminate, I think, between Sanatkumara being a personal disciple of the Solar Logos and our planetary logos being a personal disciple of the Solar Logos, because in a way, Sanatkumara is our planetary logos in emanation and extended into the fourth chain, into the second chain, fourth chain, second, well, you know, there's a whole line of descent for Sanatkumara, but it is our planetary logos in a special state of emanative focus. So let me say that. I'll just say, and we can consider it at some point, Sanatkumara is our planetary logos in a special state of emanative focus. And, you know, if there are, I've said if there are different Buddhas of activity for the different globes, and if there are higher correspondences to those Buddhas of activity found in different chains, and if there are still higher existences that are higher correspondences of those above the Buddhas of activity, and three of them, I suppose, are found in a planetary scheme, then we can wonder about the emanations of our planetary logos with regard to Sanatkumara. I mean, I know it sounds foolish to say so, but are there different Sanatkumaras or streams of him in the different globes and chains? Of course, I think of Sanatkumara, obviously, as on the on the scheme level. He is an emanation of our planetary logos, who is our planetary logos. I think of, I think of him as a great scheme being, but there might be divisions, emanative divisions within his nature, within the planetary logoic nature, which allows a Sanatkumara-like figure to be attentive in other places in the planetary logoic expression. So while the Buddhas of activity relate to our globe, Sanatkumara does relate to our globe, but also we have to really trace his origin to the planetary logos on his own high plane. And we wonder, this is what I wonder, when there are other Buddhas of activity, perhaps, on different globes, of course right now the focus, there is a strong focus on our particular globe, when there are other Buddhas of activity, what plays the central role of the being that they surround? Because Buddhas of activity are expressions of a one, just the way they are expressions of Sanatkumara on our globe. So on the chain level, we have these. I think, you know, it's a bit of a deviation, but that's my middle name, so it's. I think it's 873. Treatise of Cosmic Fire. And maybe, maybe it's not 873. I'm going to say Buddha's activity, existence. Okay, existence. No, we're not going to find that. Well, in fact, it was exactly on the page where I thought 873 was it, but here's the mystery of electricity. I just had looked too low on the page. And here, you know, in connection with our present globe, there are three Buddhas of activity. In connection with our chain, there are three mysterious entities, of whom our three Pratyeka Buddhas are but the earth reflections. Notice that word, reflections. It's quite like emanations in a way, but they are considered, you know, different entities, yet all entities we know are one, who perform a similar function in connection with the electrical forces of the chain. So there's positive, negative, and neutral. I suppose the three Buddhas of activity in relation to electricity express those three aspects of electricity. In the scheme, the planetary logos and Natsana Kumara also has three cooperating existences who are the summation of his third aspect and who perform, therefore, work similar to that performed by the three aspects of Brahma in the solar system. So, you know, when we're looking at beings who are surrounding Sena Kumara, that's one thing. But beings surrounding the planetary logos are a little different. So you can begin to see the intricacy here. This is TCF 873, definitely. And three Buddhas of activity surround Buddha, surround, okay, Buddhas? Buddhas, okay, plural. Surround Sena Kumara and three, what does he call it, great existences? Three cooperating existences, surround our planetary logos. So the we're faced with emanative intricacy here. And when we look at this kind of map right here, we do see that we only have a picture of Sena Kumara. And the three Buddhas of activity, and it's in relation to our globe. We do not have a picture of the planetary logos as the emanative source of Sena Kumara surrounded by three cooperating existences of whom the Buddhas of activity are a reflection. And so our question is, you know, how many reflections are there of greater beings as lesser beings are there in our planetary scheme? And when we try to solve the questions of Sanat Kumara and Sanat Kumaras, really has to be only one, but, you know, the divisibility of the spirit is operative again, and of the Buddhas of activity and the three entities on the chain level, they're all reflections of these three great existences. So then here's my question. Are reflections, in this sense, the same as emanations? That is the question. Well, I think the Buddhists know a great deal about emanations, and I feel I can, you know, kind of trace some of my incarnational history back along that line, and so I've been born with this structural, the tendency to structure my thought along emanative lines. It seems to me a very reasonable way of understanding cosmos. But there are intricacies involved in it, and, you know, what can we do? We cannot solve that at our present stage of ignorance. So we just have to do the best we can under the circumstances and just talk about emanations. But, you know, knowing how many correspondences to... See, the Buddhas of activity are correspondences to three great, or three entities. That's what we're told. All right. Now, these entities, three mysterious... There are three mysterious in connection with our chain are the reflections. So how many reflections of these entities are there? Are our Buddhas of activity the only reflection? Or is it because there's so much focus on the earth that they are the only reflection? But there are other globes, and at different times, or even now, would there be reflections of these three entities? Now, these three entities are reflections, I sometimes call them emanations, of the three cooperating existences surrounding the planetary logos. How many reflections are there of these, of the three cooperating existences? Are there only three entities as they are working through our planetary chain, or on every planetary chain will there be such entities? And will it depend on which planetary chain is the focus of attention of the planetary logos at any one time? Maybe because our fourth chain is such a focus now that the three entities are only on our planetary chain. But on the other hand, we remember that from our one of our chains, was it, yeah, well, maybe, I guess it's to the Venus sixth chain that our chain gave a great gift. But it seems there are other references, I can't find them right now, or don't want to go off the track looking, that shows that our different chains in our planetary scheme are active even now, and that we don't have to wait for their activation. So will there be three entities on all those active chains that are reflections of the three cooperating existences around the planetary logos? Well, these are questions, you know, which can be one day answered in a more accurate way. Right now, we just ask the question, what more can we do with any integrity? We had much difficulty in considering understandingly the path by those masters who decided to tread the path of training for planetary logoi, and I would just only heartily agree, you know. I'd almost like to go over that again. I felt a little bit stymied by that particular path and the discussion of the lotus, the three phases of lotus sleep, and the three types of blue eyes and so forth, and what was the consciousness really of the planetary logos. Was it a high consciousness always abstracted from anything that happened in the three lower worlds, which are not principles of our planetary logos? And there's where I misinterpreted the word, at least possibly the idea of outer, I guess that came with the ray path, but this the outer blue, as it is called. And there, that was found on the ray path, but has a connection with the planetary logoic path. The outer blue seems to be the cosmic blue. And we just have to see with that lotus sleep whether there is any stage of lotus sleep which involves the planetary logos in the lower worlds, and I don't know yet. But I won't get off the track there. Maybe I'll come back to that at some point. I think I may have already given as reasonable speculations that I possibly can about that. So it is therefore far more difficult and practically impossible to say anything anent this path which is trodden by those great beings who are in training for solar logos. So, you know, we say they have come a long way. A long way on a long path. And are already highly developed. Whether they are actual planetary logoi or those on the ray path or devas of high development. Of these, Sanat Kumara is one. Okay, now what does he mean by Sanat Kumara? Only Sanat Kumara? I think, you know, there are times that he simply refers to our planetary logos as Sanat Kumara. We're not given a planetary logoic name. Sanat Kumara is the way that our planetary logos is the way in which our planetary logos makes himself more plain to or more evident to human beings. So when he uses the word Sanat Kumara, he so oftentimes means the planetary logos. But we have to distinguish when he's using that name to refer to the logos per se, or when he's using that name to refer to a special manner in which the logos is operating with respect to our fourth chain and fourth globe. Of these, Sanat Kumara is one. Not all the planetary logoi, see, there's the apposition. Sanat Kumara comes first, planetary logoi tells us that he means Sanat Kumara as the planetary logos. Tread the path of solar logoi, for just as exalted positions await them elsewhere in the universe. And that is an important statement. We have said that planetary logoi, planetary logoi, well, said, can tread this path, path of solar logoi, path of, but not that they must. Those masters, okay, so just as exalted positions, perhaps on higher paths, other paths, path of absolute sonship, whatever, maybe not all planetary logoi will go so far as to materialize themselves as suns. Because even our sun is a kind of a densification, materialization. Maybe they will remain, on the more subtle planes, cosmically considered. Maybe they will remain on the more subtle planes, cosmically considered. Those masters, as I have said in a treatise on cosmic fire, who tread this path are rare indeed, and hitherto have had to enter via the angel or deva evolution and by transference then to the fifth or ray path. Now, but the reversed was also said. And let's look at it. It's as if one would emerge onto the ray path, which one can easily do from the path of planetary logoi, and thence onto the deva evolution, and thence onto the fifth path. At least that is one of the things that seemed to be said here. Okay. Right. Human beings, more of the deva evolution pass to this path than do the human. Human beings can pass to it via the deva evolution, which can be entered by transference to the fifth path. So here it seems that the entrance onto path six is direct from the deva evolution, and yet below it tells us that entrance onto path six is coming via the ray path from the deva evolution. So here we have, okay, and I'm going to make this smaller again so that we know it's a quote, at least we can differentiate it. The reverse was also said, and here is the reverse. And this is from, let's get the page on that. Pretty much 1265. Okay, so this is pretty much Cosmic Fire 1265. So, the question is, can we go to Path 6 from Path 5 directly? Or must we be part of the Deva evolution to enter Path 6? And in general, does participation in the Deva evolution on the way to the path of the Sola Logoi precede entry onto Path 5 or follow it? That's what we want to know. It looks like both. I mean, you know, we conceive in a concrete-minded way of certain lines that must be inevitably followed, but always the Tibetan is telling us, and there are many exceptions, even when he tells us of the three main types of second-ray soul, and many exceptions. So either from Path 5 to the path of the Sola Logoi, which seems natural enough, or and entering Path 5 via the transference, and by transference then. See, the word then is what we're talking about. Here we're talking about direct entry to Path 6 from Path 5, and as if participation in the Deva evolution is first needed. I suppose there are special requirements for all of these paths and different lines that entities who are differently trained can take. And maybe it has to do not only with their present monadic structure, but with where their monad has been, as it were. What particular planets it has been to, and what qualities it has acquired, and so forth. Way beyond us to know, but CE. Okay, Sola Logos. Must it precede? Precede. I think that's the better way to spell it. Changes have, however, been made, and a master can now pass on to the sixth path directly without having to enter the day of evolution. Well, okay. This is a very important piece of information. And, of course, we have seen this, in a sense, by the statement that a master on the path of earth service fights his way onto the path of the Sola Logoi, path 6. So now there is a direct entry without going into the Deva evolution after path 5. So more direct, more direct would be man, planetary logos, ray path, and then path of the Sola Logoi. And this, there would be no need in this sequence to enter the Deva evolution. Now, what does it mean to enter the Deva evolution? Well, you know, it's hard to answer that, but certainly one's body of expression becomes different and more elastic, more fluid, less concrete. In general, we could say of the Devas that they are less concrete than man. Man tends to have specific vehicles. The planetary man, called the heavenly man, does. The grand heavenly man does. And the grand heavenly man, you know, these heavenly men, these cosmic logoi and all of that, they are men in a sense, and they have concrete vehicles. But the Deva evolution has more fluid, subtle vehicles, but is still a sentient monad at the root of all the vehicle, at the center of the vehicle. So now, this is very interesting, and it's possible then to tread the path of the planetary logoi, enter the ray path, and then from thence path directly to ray 6. Okay, not ray 6, oh, path 6. Excuse me, Freudian slip here. All right, this sixth path is one on which the masters in training have to work with the devas who are so frequently the mobile agents, this is so good, of creative process in the solar creation. The word mobile is important. The word mobile links the devas with the third aspect of divinity and also tells something about the plasticity or fluidity of their bodies of expression. Plasticity. The masters who enter upon this path eventually, and as part of their training, enter the council chamber of some of the sacred planets, you know, learning what the planetary logoi know in relation to some solar logos, before transferring into the group which guides our solar logos. Well, what group can that be? Is it a group associated with the cosmic logos in which our solar logos plays his part? This, in its turn, is only a temporary phase, though in both cases the time embraced may cover vast periods. And, you know, I want to say many Maha Manvantaras, as we have discussed, if a master takes many Maha Manvantaras to become, perhaps in monadic fusion with other masters, I don't know, but maybe, a solar logos, a planetary logos, then why not have vast periods, Maha Manvantaras, in which the adept taking this path has to train to become a true solar logos. They work with principles unknown to us on Earth. Okay, and DK is always discussing cosmic laws that are unknown to us and also principles. Though two of these principles will later be revealed. Okay. Well, you know, you think about it. We might have a three, but the three might be part of a one, and the one might be part of a seven. So there are all of these possible pyramidal retractions. Trinitarian and septenary retractions, which will tell us of higher principles that include the ones that are working out in triplicate or in septenate. Many of them are controlling factors on other spheres and in other planetary schemes which are more advanced than ours. So many of principles, many of them, they work. Okay, many of them are controlling factors in other spheres. Are we speaking of these masters? Or of the principles? Okay, so are we speaking of these masters? Or of, I think, or of the principles unknown? Not sure here. The masters who enter upon this path eventually and as part of their training enter the council chamber of some of the sacred planets. Only not all, but some are available for this kind of training. Presumably those which are more solar in their nature or stellar. Before transferring into the group which guides our solar logos. Well, a solar logos is, let's put it like this, a planetary logos is guided by a solar logos. And analogically, oh, how to spell that? Analogically, a solar logos would be guided by a cosmic logos, and on, a cosmic logos by a super constellation logos, and so forth. This, in its turn, is only a temporary phase, but it seems that even though entering a guiding group for a solar logos, these beings on this path 6 at this phase are not yet solar logoi. So what does it mean to guide? Well, we've also been told that on the ray path, there is steadying and guiding of a solar logos, helping to keep the solar logos properly oriented. At least that's what I understood, that there was a directional, a strong orienting and directional factor. Directional factor of the on the ray path to help direct and keep properly oriented our solar logos or other solar logoi. So, but say before transferring into a group which guides our solar logos. So much depends on what that word guides mean. You know, let's just say a rudder can help guide a ship, but is still in control of the captain of the ship. So are we necessarily speaking of superior beings or of those who have the guiding function within the expression of the solar logos? So are we necessarily speaking of superior beings or of those within the solar logos who have a guiding function, just as a rudder has a guiding function. All right, that's F-U-N-C-T, function, right. And not gilding, but guiding, okay. And this, in its turn, is only a temporary phase, though in both cases the time embrace may cover vast periods from the point of view of humanity, and all I can say is just think of how long it takes to become a planetary logos, and then think that the planetary logoi are as far separated from the state of achievement of a solar logos as disciples, initiates and masters are from the state of achievement of a of a planetary logos. So it gives us an idea here of how vast these periods may be. We have a lot of time, from the human perspective. We have a lot of time in our universe, apparent time anyway, from the human perspective. And even though we have vast periods here, which are covered on the way to becoming a solar logos, there's plenty of room and time for those periods to elapse, even many Mahamanvantaras. These beings on this path, I suppose they, the adepts on this path, 6, work with principles unknown to us on Earth, though two of these principles will later be revealed, and many of them are controlling factors on other spheres and in other planetary schemes, more advanced than ours. The master in training then acts as the custodian of these energetic principles. Well, it looks like principles unknown is what we're talking about. This looks more probable. Okay, this looks more probable. The master in training then acts as the custodian of these energetic principles, or as their distributing agent. In this way, Venus was the custodian of what we call the principle of mind and brought it as a pure gift to embryonic humanity. So Venus, custodian. So remember, in a way, hint, Venus is on the path of Solar Logoi. So it seems. So they work with principles unknown to us on Earth, though two of these principles will later be revealed. Many of them are controlling factors on other spheres and in other planetary schemes, which are more advanced than ours. Well, we don't know the laws, we don't know the principles beyond those we work with. The master in training then acts as the custodian of these energetic principles, or as distributing agent. In this way, Venus was the custodian of what we call the principle of mind. Well, as I say, you know, it may represent in our solar system not only a chakra of a certain kind, but a monastic permanent atom. We have to remember that the permanent atoms produce the vehicles, and in the vehicles there can be, there will be chakras. But in a way, the principle working through the permanent atom is higher, on the hierarchical scale, because the same type of chakra can be produced in many of the different vehicles. So there's a principle, one permanent atom, and many chakras. So the priority is with the permanent atom and with the principle working through it, in which the different chakras, of which the different chakras are distributing agents. So through the permanent atom comes the principle which builds a vehicle, and in the vehicle comes those chakras which are distributing agents of the principle. Like the principle of Kama, let's say, in the astral body, is going to be distributed in some way by all the chakras there, and the principle of Manas in the mental body is going to be distributed by different chakras there. So although there is a similarity between the functioning of the chakras, corresponding chakras, they are also involved in expressing or distributing different principles. Or they are, you know, steeped in different principles, and their expression will involve those principles. I mean, the head center, or the Ajna center on the astral plane is analogous to the Ajna center on the etheric plane, but the etheric Ajna center is involved in the distribution of vitality, and the Ajna center on the etheric plane involved in the distribution of vitality, and the Ajna center on the astral plane is involved with directing desire, I suppose. The Kamic desire principle is stronger. Okay. A pure gift to embryonic humanity. Anyway, this is a kind of, you know, in the atmosphere in which this statement is made, you get the hint that Venus is a lot like our solar logos, and that Venus is an advanced disciple. One gets the idea that Venus is an advanced disciple on path 6, and that this is the case, or will be anyway, for our planetary logos, though less advanced. It's as if, I mean, if Sanat Kumara is a personal disciple of the solar logos, it may well be that that's going to be the path of the soul of Logoi will be his path. And thus, it's, you know, there's something that seems to suggest this about Venus. Venus, so Venus was like a master distributing certain energetic principles. Now, of course, the reason that this is said, there's a lower analogy being given here, but I'm kind of looking at what the hint is. In this way, Venus was the custodian of what we call the principle of mind and brought it as a pure gift to humanity. So as the master on this path will be the custodian and distributing agent of certain energetic principles to lesser beings, I suppose. Well, are they really lesser? I think so. So Venus was a great being who acted as the custodian and distributor of a certain principle, the gift of mind, to embryonic humanity. And when we say Venus, we probably mean that the solar logos Venus and the chain lord of the second chain in our Earth scheme and the globe lord of the second or sixth globe in the Venus chain and the chain lord of the fourth chain in our Earth scheme and the globe lords of the second and fourth globes were all involved in this process. Now, before I've gone over that line of descent, you know, you can just see it. You can just see it here, and I'm just, you know, because otherwise it just gets hopelessly confusing when you don't have a picture to connect it to. And there it is, you know, from the sun, solar logos, from Venus, and then to the Venus chain of the Earth scheme, and this second or sixth globe, and then down to the Earth chain and the second and fourth globe. This is the line of descent. And Venus added to that the pure gift of manas, the pure gift of mind to humanity. Now let's see. Temporary phase before transferring to a group which guides our solar logos. But it's not that, you know, they are giving gifts to our solar logos, which he does not have in this case. But there are those who actually do guide. But they are learning something about guidance by transferring into the group which guides the solar logos. But the word guide has to be understood. The word guide may not mean direct. Okay. The word guide may not mean direct. Directional function. No wonder he says we cannot understand so much here. Okay, they work with principles unknown to us on Earth, though two of these principles will later be revealed. Many of them are controlling factors on other spheres in other planetary schemes, but they are working with more advanced than ours. They are working with, or let's just say, the masters on this path are working with and therefore learning about these principles. But they are not yet more advanced than the lords of the planetary schemes in relation to which they work. So the master in training then acts as a custodian of these energetic principles or as a distributing agent within his due scope, his scope of hierarchical power. And in this way, Venus was the custodian of what we call the principle of mind and brought it to humanity. So the master acts as a custodian of these energetic principles or of distributing agents to lesser beings than himself. Venus was a greater being and humanity a lesser being, and Venus acted as a custodian and energetic distributor distributing agent for the energetic principle of mind. It's just a question of trying to discover the scope here, the scope of these beings. Okay, so, you know, it might be a good thing to just read this without so much interruption as a pure gift. And there's only one like that. And we're at the end, actually, of what is said there. The sixth path. Is one on which the masters in training have to work with the devas who are so frequently the mobile agents of the creative process in solar creation. They work with the devas because the devas have been, the deva kingdom has been the means by which those who were human could transfer onto this path of solar loka. The masters who enter upon this path eventually and as part of their training enter the council chamber of some of the sacred planets. We're not told which, before transferring into the group which guides our solar logos. This, in its turn, is only a temporary phase, though in both cases the time embrace may cover vast periods from the point of view of humanity. They work with principles unknown to us on Earth, though two of these principles will later be revealed. Many of them are controlling factors on other spheres and in other planetary schemes, which are more advanced than ours. The master in training then acts as a custodian of these energetic principles or the distributing agent in this way, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they are guiding the planetary logos. They're working within the schemes. That has to be understood with lesser beings within the schemes. In this way, Venus was the custodian of what we call the principle of mind and brought it as a pure gift to embryonic humanity. So what has to be understood here, let's say, to be understood, the masters who work in relation to these sacred planets are not guiding the planetary logos of that planet, but are cooperating in the guidance of lesser beings. Let's just say that Venus was on the path of the planetary, of the solar logoi, or was planning to be so. Venus has the way of guiding lesser beings, such as humanity, rather than guiding greater beings than which it is inferior. If you think about it, how could Venus, for instance, guide the solar logos or control the direction of the solar logos? But it could work within the body of manifestation of the solar logos to guide lesser units. This would be possible. Well, okay, we have passed through this, and maybe we should have a little review before going into the archaic stanzas. I think if we were to look here, raise initiations, maybe that's what we'll look over, that. And then if we have time, maybe go back a little further. So the solar logos is very far removed from our planetary logos, as the latter is from the point of attainment of an accepted disciple. And we talked about how far the solar logos is removed from sacred planets and how far from synthesizing planets. Okay, but there is a link between them, and they're all involved in the same solar systemic enterprise. And at a certain point on the way of higher evolution, these two lines meet and merge. I suppose okay, it should be remembered that as this peculiarly through subject is approached, that the solar logos and the planetary logos have their differences. And he's trying to tell us how remote, really, is the path of higher evolution for the solar logos, how remote the solar logos is from the planetary logos. So the lines meet and merge, they cooperate. The path of the planetary logo and solar logo really are closely intertwined. Not all solar logoi necessarily have planetary systems, but then one has to ask, then what are their chakras? Or are their chakras like planetary logoi, or not, just not externalized in the outer solar system? Sanatkumara is regarded as a personal disciple of the solar logos, which means that he has great cosmic responsibility, because one has to fulfill the will of the master in this respect. But others of the planetary logoi are also, in a way, disciples of the solar logos. We don't know the exact relationship. Sanatkumara has to be regarded here as the planetary logos, really. He could have said, our planetary logos is a personal disciple of the solar logos. But the solar logos has a very strong second ray at the present time. And so maybe it's in the second ray aspect of our planetary logos that the solar logos is really guiding. Our planetary logos, though, does have a first ray monad, and one wonders, is it ever possible for that particular planetary logos, ours, to be in connection with a solar logos which can speak to his first ray particularly? That may just be an errant thought, as it is not always possible. Can we ever disengage our planetary logos from its solar logos? Can we ever disengage an emanation from its source? That is a key question. I'm just going to put it in here. Can we ever disengage an emanation from its source? This is a key philosophical question. It has to do with the mobility of emanations. That's what it's all about. And the independence of emanations. In a way, emanations are all from the universal logos, and as long as they return to it, then perhaps they are disengageable. Engageable, disengageable, well, I guess there may be no such word, but disengageable. Don't know if there's an E or not, but I'm just going to act as if it's a word. Okay. So, there's been a lot of difficulty understanding the path of planetary logoi, indeed, very subtle, very occult, very interior, and far more difficulty than in understanding the path of the great beings who are training for solar logoi. And, you know, these may be great rays or planetary logoi who are indeed great beings who are in training for solar logoi. Of these, Sanatkumara is one as a personal disciple of the solar logos. So Sanatkumara is in training. So my question was that if Sanatkumara is in training for becoming a solar logos, is this not possible for Venus as well? Possibly. Not all the planetary logoi tread the path of the solar logoi, for just as exalted positions await them elsewhere in the universe. And well, you might think that the path of absolute sonship would really have great opportunities there, and there are other and higher paths, 8 and 9, which we are not told about, which have to be more synthetic. And these are just paths from our particular planetary logos and within our system. And there have to be greater paths or antikoranas leading from solar logoi, leading the solar logoi onto still greater opportunity, and leading cosmic logoi on and on and on until we reach the point of ultimate retraction. Okay, and I'm just going to say this, that one day we shall reach the point of ultimate retraction, and this is the universal logos itself. I'll say itself, not himself or herself. Those masters, as I have said, who tread this path are rare indeed, and you know, more devas have tread this path. So then, is a planetary logos a deva? Because we can pretty well think that planetary logoi have trodden this path. Well, they seem to be somewhat of a mixture, Hermes and Aphrodite, the hermaphrodite. Those masters, as I have said, in the treatise on cosmic fire, who tread this path are rare indeed, and hitherto have had to enter this path via the angel or deva evolution, and by transference then to the fifth or ray path, from which presumably one can enter directly. But as I showed you earlier, there was the idea that one could enter the ray path as a planetary logos, for instance, or maybe as another type of being, and then transfer to the deva evolution, and then go directly to the path of the solar logoi, because that seems to be a path that the great devas can take. One wonders what path can be taken by these Raja Deva lords, who are planetary and systemic expressions. Okay, changes have, however, been made, and the master can now pass on to the sixth path directly and without entering the Deva evolution, and at least that seems to be done via the path of Earth service, which is the first path. He fights his way onto the sixth. We don't know how many, channels in that path to path six he has to take. He does find his way onto path number, he finds his way onto the cosmic astral plane, but that's not his destination, it's the cosmic buddhic plane. So the master can go to the planetary logoi, to the rays, and then, without going into the deva evolution, can go on to the path of solar logoi, or he can, whatever it says, fight his way onto path number six. But we don't know how many different stops along the way there are. What else do we have here? Just a summary, you know, confirming these things. On the sixth path, the masters have to work with the devas, because, of course, the devas have been approaching this, the solar logoi, more frequently than men. The mobile agents of the creative process, linking the devas to the third aspects of divinity and telling something about the plasticity of their bodies. The masters who enter upon this path eventually, as part of their training, they enter the council chamber of some of the sacred planets. And this is where they will learn what here's what you wonder, and this is what I wonder. Are these sacred planets, the planets which are the planetary logos of which are pursuing the path of the solar logoi? Now that is, and I'm going to make that a little bigger, because that might determine which ones of the planets these masters go to, because if they are already pursuing the path of the solar logoi, then much can be learned along that line. before transferring into a group which guides our solar logos. Well, that is mysterious, and even a planetary logos does not guide in the sense of control and direct our solar logos. So, and these masters are not yet to that point because they're being taught by planetary logos. So what is guides? Does guides mean steadies and stabilizes, or does one learn above in the tutelage of a cosmic logos something about the path of the planetary logo of the solar logoi, which can be known nowhere else? Anyway, this, you know, I really have to ponder on this, because again, we have a lowly master. Well, he's a high being compared to us, but he's transferring into a group which guides our solar logos. Is he learning something? He's not really guiding our solar logos. It seems that he's learning something about that, just as he may have learned in the planetary system of a planet who was on the path of the solar logo is something about pursuing that path. And this is only a temporary phase. This is a review, right, friends? This is a review. Okay. And I've just gone back to the wrong place. Okay. Okay, let's see here. Yes, this in its turn is only temporary phase. From a point of humanity, it may seem vast. And these masters work with principles unknown on Earth, but they may control on other spheres. And he wields these principles, but to lesser beings within the system in which he is working and learning. So these adepts wield these energetic principles, but within planetary systems in which they are working and learning, and hence to lesser beings within those systems. And in this way, Venus was the custodian of what we may call the principle of mind, and brought it as a pure gift. So Venus was working maybe upon this path, or maybe it's just the analogy that a high being brings something to a lower being. But here is the principle of mind, which was not so known or developed in embryonic humanity, and it was an unknown principle at the time, unknown to humanity, and it was brought by a higher being who was working within the context of the solar logos, let us say, in relation to our planet. Well, it's a little abstruse, friends. It's a little abstruse, but we expect that from the Tibetan when he speaks of these great things. So now I have, with that little review, come to the point where I can say that this is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 30B, Path of Higher Evolution. That's not it. Yeah, Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 147. And we're going to, beginning with Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 31A, Paths of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 147. As I do these, you know, I'm well aware that the words used may hide reality, may mislead, may give the wrong conception, but there's just the possibility that they may spark some apprehensive thought in the mind of someone, such a thought not being there before, and such a thought possibly connecting that consciousness with a range of activities or a pattern which had not been conceived before, and which may give some sense of the relationship between our present circumstances and that very eventual state, and may convey something about the manner of arriving at that state or pattern. This is possible, and it is my hope. All right, friends, we'll move on to the next one, but I'll take a little break here and start at 31A. So all the best, and keep studying. You know, it's probably inevitable. As we study, what we study becomes more than just words and concepts. It stimulates the intuition and becomes a way of life, which is what DK tells us. He tells us that when he speaks of the second ray in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1. Okay, we'll see you then. Bye-bye.